microphone. And he has downed in your car to your home. Every week it's on the news. A deep talk or an interview. She'll make you laugh, she'll make you cry. When it's dark out, she's a light. When you're down, get you feeling right. Oh man, that's some fun.
Hi friends, and welcome to another episode of That Sounds Fun. I'm your host, Annie F. Downs. I'm so happy to be here with you today. Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with some samples. So if you have read That Sounds Fun, you probably remember the story of me trying to get a dog and then realizing I was allergic. Sad day. And this is why I'm glad I found Claritin D, because an allergy attack is literally the worst. So I am thankful to have it on hand around my friends, pets, and other things. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. It's designed for serious allergy sufferers, and Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, and itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. Amen to that. There are also a lot of seasonal allergy sufferers over here at AFD Inc. and at the That Sounds Fun Network. So Claritin D really works for this crew. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It is time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. So you can find Claritin D at your pharmacy counter. Just ask a pharmacist for Claritin D at the pharmacy counter, and you don't even need a prescription. Just go to Claritin.com right now and you can get a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Today on the show, one of our favorite people is back. How are we this lucky to have a January full of our favorites? He is such a wise and thoughtful voice who helps us navigate politics. Also, a member of the Hall of Fun, just like our guest last Thursday, John Mark Comer. Michael is also part of the Hall of Fun. His new book, The Spirit of Our Politics, comes out tomorrow. It is such a good read, you guys. It is so helpful. It is so balanced. I think it's a really perfect resource to help us prepare for election season, especially when even bringing up the word election may cause some different emotions in a lot of us. Stick with me. Don't give up, because this is about elections and politics. Stick with us. Through this new book, Michael is giving us a way to look at political involvement that's rooted in the teachings of Jesus, so we can approach conversations with humility and healing instead of bitterness and division. This is a great episode, and Michael's new book is a great book to order for your pastor, your spiritual leader, the people you are hoping will be voices for you during this election year. Send them this podcast episode so you have a conversation to start with them. Send them a copy of The Spirit of Our Politics. What a great book for people to read through right now as all of it is kicking up. So I'm really thankful for Michael and Melissa, his wife. I'm thankful for their friendship, and I am really happy he's back today. So here's my conversation with Michael Ware. That sounds fun. Michael Ware, welcome back to That Sounds Fun.
Hi, it's so good to be back.
Total honor. Okay, listen, yes. I got to tell you, we have a big announcement for you.
Okay.
This is technically your sixth episode, which means you are in the Hall of Fun, my friend. Look at you right there. Michael Ware.
This is amazing.
You're in the Hall of Fun. Five episodes, it gets you in the Hall of Fun. So far, there are only 14 people out of over 800 episodes.
It's an honor.
You're one of 14.
So glad.
Also, Dave Barnes and Santa Claus are on there, so that may be a double, but you know.
Either way.
Thank you for the way you've invested in our community over the last 10 years. I'm just so, so grateful.
Well, thank you. I mean, we're going to, and I mean this sincerely, my conversations with you, and because of, you know, like through that, my conversations with your listeners have, I don't know if the work I'm doing now would be shaped in the same way without the opportunity to be involved in this ongoing conversation with That Sounds Fun about the important kinds of issues and topics we're going to discuss today and that I work on. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm really, really thankful for you. We, as we are in our 10th year of the podcast, we're starting the show different. And we are saying, because the show is called That Sounds Fun, let's start with what sounds fun to you, Michael Ware. What sounds fun to you right now?
So, I've always been intimidated by. So first, I used to be intimidated of making fresh pasta entirely.
Now you're a pro.
But then I was intimidated of like filled pastas, like making tortellini, making ravioli. But that is the new frontier, Annie F. Downs.
Is it?
So we started this year. Melissa would complain. So for a few years, I tried having lasagna be our Christmas tradition.
Sure.
And Melissa was finally like, I don't like this.
Oh my gosh.
And so we, I decided this year I was going to try and do tortellini in broth. And to my surprise, it was like a smashing success. So
wow.
I'm like, I'm hooked now. So that sounds fun to me. And it's great with our girls. It gives them all kinds of little things that they could do. And so yeah, that's my little hobby right now. Yeah.
Have you ravioli'd yet?
I have. I've ravioli'd.
And do you have the little rolly thing that goes along the edges and makes
yes,
it?
Yes. And it is
the coolest
device. Nothing better has been invented since.
Ever. No.
Ever. And there is such a sense of satisfaction doing the little roller. Now, what I also have is like the stamp, but I haven't used that yet. But you can do like the stamp. But I like the roller.
It does all four sides.
I feel like Wendell Berry when I'm using the roll.
Right.
It feels very agricultural.
I was thinking of the main guy in The Bear. I feel like when he makes ravioli, he
too,
does it.
That would be, I guess, a more direct comparison. But for my Wendell Berry fans out there, they'll go.
You nailed it. That's exactly right. How much did you and Melissa love The Bear? I just feel like that is y'all's kind of show.
Melissa turns to me during one episode and she's like, I understand so much about you now. That sort of people watch it. And even me, even though this is my background, a lot of people report watching it, how much anxiety the show promotes with all the yelling and crosstalk. And Melissa's like, Michael, I feel like I'm at Thanksgiving with your family. And it's true. It's just like a very, I mean, the episode where it was the flashback at his sort of Italian family, which was a heartbreaking episode.
Unbelievable.
The Seven
episode.
Fishes. Exactly right. My family wasn't, of course, exactly like that. But
sure.
But my blood pressure rose watching the show, and it's a brilliant show.
It's
and
brilliant.
Oddly touching, even though it is such an they don't like sand off the edges. It is a somewhat like abrasive bracing show. No,
I think because I'm naturally such a loud person and I struggle to be an interrupter, I love it. Because I'm kind of like, I could, let's go. Just keep talking over each other. That's what I think is great. Have y'all watched Drops of God?
No, I don't even know what it is.
Oh my gosh. It's this sommelier, this like big wine guy dies. And he leaves his, he has like millions and millions of dollars worth of a wine cellar collection, a wine collection. And when he dies, he leaves the collection to his daughter, who he is not in relationship anymore, and one of his students at the wine school. And they have to compete for it.
Okay.
And it's in French and Japanese because he lives in Japan now. So you have to like pay attention.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Okay,
it was my
after
Bear.
I'll check it out for
Drops
sure.
Of God. It's really, I mean, it's kind of an unbelievable. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. I think you'll like it because it's got its Italian feeling.
Yeah. I was at a restaurant and just last month and the table next to me ordered one of those bottles where like they won't decork it, like they get like hot metal and burn off like the bottle. And I got to watch it and I felt like I was getting, I felt almost like should I chip in for the, like, because this is a privilege just to see,
taking place.
Yeah. It was so cool. And I did not give them any money. I stole that experience.
One of the things we share so deeply that a lot of our friends listening share is like, give me a good experience with food. Like, let me see. That's why I love The Bear, is like, watching that one episode, I think it's called Forks, maybe, or Spoons. It's him working at that really fine dining. I live for a fine dining experience, even if it's, I like the experience as much as I like the food.
Yes, I don't need to eat.
I don't need to eat.
And this was my grandmother would watch me eat and wouldn't eat anything at all. And she got so much pleasure out of just seeing someone eat food that she had lovingly prepared. Yes. And I just, there's just something about it that, that speaks to me, Annie.
Me too. We're just ready for the Feast of the Lamb. That's what we're just ready for the feast.
That's the Lord knew.
Yes, He's going to let us sit next to each other, you and me and Melissa.
Literally, that's right. A foretaste. Yeah.
Oh, well, listen, let's jump into where we are. Y'all's podcast, that full disclosure is on the That Sounds Fun Network, because I was dying for y'all to be on our network. Will you talk about the rhythm of that show, especially here we are, 2024, an election year that people are, a lot of moderates are dreading.
Yes.
And so talk a little bit about where we are and what y'all's rhythm is for that show.
Yeah. So we do every weekend, we do a long form that's Melissa and I talking about issues of the day, bringing our experience to bear, and also doing it in the context of our marriage and the fact that these are the kinds of conversations that we have when the recorders aren't going. And you know, we're also very upfront with the fact that the podcast gives us an opportunity to have a 45-minute conversation together when with two toddlers, it's a rarity. And so we love doing that weekend episode. We love doing, we'll do topical episodes. I also love doing listener Q&A episodes. Our audience is so wonderful and asks such wonderful questions.
I love those too, Michael. I love your Q&A episodes.
They're so great, and we love that. And then Mondays through Thursdays, we do something called the Morning Five, and that is typically 5 to 7 minutes of prayer, scripture, and then going over the top 3 or 4 headlines that will shape the day. So the episode's usually live at like 3 a.m. So you could start your day. We know we have a lot of listeners who are parents who listen to it with their kids. It's like a good entry point into praying with your kids as you send them off to school. And I think it's brief. It's a good way to just get a sense of what some of the headline items are. We don't go in depth. There's not really opinion in it. It's really just headlines. The main point I'm trying to send with that, and the rhythm I'm hoping to like build up and the confidence I'm hoping to build up, is we want Christians and we want our listeners to know and feel confident that God is not intimidated by the news of the day, that they could bring their faith to whatever challenges or opportunities the world is facing, and that God is not absent from those challenges and opportunities.
Yes.
So that's the podcast. And we, I think we're just about to hit 400 episodes.
It's unbelievable.
And it's been so much fun, partnering with, TSF. Yeah.
Well, it is. I will tell everybody, I could not give it a higher endorsement. I listen every day. I mean, I've almost got the prayer at the end memorized. Because you always do the Lord's Prayer by, not Tim, is it Tim Keller?
It's Willard.
Dallas Willard.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, I mean, it is so helpful to me because I listen to the three political shows I listen to every day, or politics adjacent, if they would not like me to say they're political, is The Daily and Daily Wire, because those are both coming from two very different points of view. But so I like to hear both of them every day. Yep. And then y'all, because y'all are kind of my, like, now we recenter to what is, let's talk about scripture.
Yes.
Let's hear scripture. Let's pray together. But these four stories, y'all very rarely give an opinion about these four stories. You just say, hey, you need to know that Utah is voting on something that is actually going to matter in every state. So you need to know that's happening today. And so I'm such a fan. Well, you know, I'm such a fan of you and Melissa, but I am such a fan of what y'all offer. And this year feels like the year that people need to get in to a political show that is, even though humans
grounding
make it,
and
that is grounding and as unbiased as I experience it to be unbiased. And so I'm very grateful for that.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Appreciate
it's
that.
It's beautiful. So, well, if I was like, so thanks for coming, everybody. Go listen to where we are. Have a great day, Michael. But the bigger fun is, everybody's hearing this today on Monday, and tomorrow your new book comes out, The Spirit of Our Politics.
Yeah.
How do you feel? You haven't released a book in a month of Sundays, Michael Ware.
I'm really excited about it. It's a book I've wanted to write for a long time. The book applies and draws on the ideas of Dallas Willard.
I had no idea he was so political until I read.
What I hope the book does is give Christians, pastors, and others a vernacular that is more at home and natural for the church, from which then we can enter and talk about and have an exchange with politics. I think one of the reasons why Christians feel so disempowered and embattled and just nervous about our political life is because we've accepted this idea that somehow, like, our language, our resources aren't up to the task. And so if we're going to talk about politics, then we need to, like, be looking at the polls every day, and we need to take on a whole different kind of language. When my experience has been that Christianity itself offers tremendous resources that our politics desperately needs. And so that's what the book tries to do. It makes the case that spiritual formation into the likeness of Christ is central to the health of our politics.
I told you this when I was reading it the first time. I was in an airport, and I am very good. I mean, I read 10 books a week, five to 10 books a week for podcasting.
Yeah.
So I'm very good at reading every page.
Yeah.
And I remember I texted you, I was like, hey, I'm supposed to read every page. You are making me want to read every word. This is going so slow. I have a rhythm, and you busted it. You busted my rhythm.
Because
I wanted to read absolutely every word. I mean, just look at how much I've marked it up. I mean, just every folded down page is everywhere. I love it, Michael, because, and I'd love for you to speak to this, I consider myself pretty moderate, but I do have some opinions, but I'm pretty moderate politically, and I am so frustrated at the extremes and how popular the extremes are, and because both of them say, if you're a real Christian, then you would never vote for. If you're a real Christian, then you would if you're a real Christian, you don't vote for Biden.
Right.
If you're a real Christian, you don't vote for Trump.
That's
and then you're like, that is so unfair.
Yeah. Yes.
So I mean, the spirit of the politics is off to me. Is that true?
Yes.
Like, in general?
Yes. The problem is so much of our politics is wants us to treat our political opinions as our religion. And it wants us to baptize our political opinions. But for those of us who have, frankly, like, if you just pay attention, you just realize how fallible even the opinions of political experts are, the people who do this and have committed their lives to political ideas and getting this policy, and then they achieve what they wanted to achieve, and the year after they're going, well, that didn't turn out the way I wanted it to. And so I think there's just a sense, we know that we need to be engaged in politics because it affects our communities, it affects the lives of those, but we need to find a way to be involved without making it our identity, and not basing our worth and our value and our political opinions. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and obviously talk about this in the book, it makes it so much easier for politicians and political parties if you do treat them as brands, if you do treat them
interesting. Yeah.
As not things that you're seeking to influence and vehicles, but like an identity marker itself. And we need to push back against that. And as Christians, we have every resource that we need to push back against that. Mm-hmm. And you know, this year is going to be an opportunity. Dallas Willard was once counseling a friend who was having a serious challenge. And after the friend shared his challenge with Dallas, Dallas paused. And what he told his friend was, this is going to be a test of your joyful confidence in the Lord. And wow. I feel like 2024 is going to be a test of our joyful confidence in the Lord. But yeah. That test is an invitation, and it's an invitation that we could take up if we choose to do so. Yeah.
Hey friends, just interrupting this conversation real quick to share about one of our amazing partners, Bite Toothpaste. Okay. Have y'all seen the Bite toothpaste bits? They are so cool. It's these dry toothpaste tablets, and they are so simple. You just pop a bit in your mouth, chew it up, start brushing. It will turn to paste just like that, and it's exactly what you're used to, but no plastic tube or mess. They are made with clean ingredients and are sulfate-free, palm oil-free, and glycerin-free, which is awesome. So many commercial toothpastes have harsh chemicals, artificial flavors, and preservatives in them, so Bite is a better way to go. I am all for cleaner options that are also less messy. Bite also makes plastic-free alternatives for everything on your bathroom sink, like toothpaste, mouthwash, toothbrushes, and deodorant, so you can cut out the harsh chemicals and plastic waste. The Bite bits come in sleek, refillable glass bottles and jars that look amazing on your counter. They send refills in compostable pouches, so they're better for our bodies and our earth. Bite is offering our friends 20% off your first order. Go to trybite.com/thatsoundsfun or use the code thatsoundsfun at checkout to claim this deal. That's trybite.com/thatsoundsfun. And one more amazing partner I get to tell you about, ZocDoc. Y'all know I've been sorting out some health things lately, which has meant getting input from a few extra experts and needing to schedule more appointments than normal. The whole hunting for a new doctor thing can be so frustrating if you think you found the right one, but then you can't get an appointment with them for months, or if you find one really close to where you live, but they don't take your insurance. Listen, you can skip that headache, and ZocDoc will help you find and book the doctor who is right for you and takes your insurance. ZocDoc is a free app where you can find amazing doctors and book appointments online. We're talking about booking appointments with thousands of top-rated, patient-reviewed doctors and specialists. You can filter specifically for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat almost any condition you're searching for. These docs all have verified reviews from actual, real patients. And the average wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 and 48 hours. You can even score same-day appointments. I've used ZocDoc, and it is so helpful. Go to ZocDoc.com/thatsoundsfun and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/thatsoundsfun. ZocDoc.com/thatsoundsfun. Y'all, we all love something that is customized to us. Getting our favorite outfit tailored to fit just right. Getting a custom piece of art for your house. Listening to a playlist that's customized for us based on what we like to listen to. So why not use custom hair care? We all have different hair textures and types, and switching to a custom hair care routine has been so helpful for me. Like, my hair looks healthier and shinier. Plus, Pros also has custom skincare, which is so great because we definitely all have different needs for our skin too. With Pros, it is all about personalization. You do their in-depth consultation and they come up with your made-to-order products. There are millions of possible formulas, but only one is uniquely yours or mine. Pros isn't just better for you, it's better for the planet. They're a certified B Corp, they're cruelty-free, and they're the first and only carbon-neutral custom beauty brand. Pros is so confident that they will bring out your best hair and skin that they're offering an exclusive trial of 50% off your first subscription order, you guys. Just go to pros.com/thatsoundsfun so you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/thatsoundsfun. That's PROSE.com/thatsoundsfun. Okay, now back to our conversation with Michael. I don't know how on purpose you did this. I assume it was that, like, okay, here's the spirit of our politics in January. So it kind of gives us 6 months, 5 months before it gets real loud. I mean, I think the Republican primary is July.
Well, yeah. So the conventions will be in the summer. And so the book releases on the date of the New Hampshire primary. So tomorrow is the New Hampshire primary.
Yeah. So I'm going to ask you to do this in a couple of categories.
Tell us.
So we're getting spirit of our politics. We're going to read it. My encouragement is buy one for your pastor, buy one for yourself, and buy one for your pastor, just to give him or her a resource that says, I believe this is going to be hard for you. Yeah. Here is one resource that says I support you, right?
Yes.
How do we prep this year as we're reading the book? How do we prep in prayer for this political year?
Oh, I love that question. There are a number of ways. I think in the congregational context, and I know churches have different kinds of services and different opportunities, I would really encourage pastors and churches to think about how to routinize prayer for the election, for the political environment, for civic leaders in their church services. Because here's what happens.
Oh, interesting. Like starting now, not waiting till November.
Right. Starting now. Because what happens is if you're doing it regularly, then you aren't in the place of doing it reactively. And the problem is that if you're not doing it regularly, then something happens in the news and, you know, pastors' inboxes are bombarded with demands. You must address this. And there are social media campaigns. If your church doesn't speak out about this issue, leave the church. And so then the pastor's in the position of saying, well, if I mention our government, it seems like I'm picking a side. And then things get really, can get really, really tough. It's seen as a statement as opposed to something flowing out of scripture itself.
Right.
And so, again, that won't be possible in every context, depending on how services are arranged. But I'll just tell you, I've been personally blessed by in my church through different administrations during prayer time, we have prayed by name for Donald J. Trump and Joseph Biden. It's been so freeing and so, it says to the community of believers that we are standing in a different place than partisan politics when we think about government. And so that's one way to think about it through the congregation. I think for, so there's a chapter in my book directed specifically to pastors and parents. And I think that was obviously intentional. I think pastors and parents have both been under a great deal of stress and burden as because of our politics. I also think they're in God-ordained offices of dignity that we desperately need if we're going to navigate this season successfully. For parents, I'd be thinking about how you can, over the course of this year, make sure that your children don't get the impression that when you talk about Christian things, the political is somehow, that the Christian things are somehow too pure for the political. And when you're talking about political things, that politics isn't so corrupt that or so practical that Christianity has nothing to offer there.
Yeah.
So politics offers so many opportunities to point out things about the kingdom of God and about human nature that will actually empower your kids and your own and embolden your kids and your own faith. When I think too often we allow these political issues to actually to undermine our confidence. Mm-hmm. And so that would be so think about how you're praying together as a family. And then the last thing I'd mention is I have, during a number of presidential election cycles, formed a politically diverse group of people to pray together throughout privately. Wow. We don't make a big to do about it, but right. We pray together as a friend group and as people who who disagree politically, and to have that group praying on a regular basis throughout the election cycle, it means that when we're in other conversations about politics, we're not talking about quote unquote the other side in a removed way. We're thinking about our friends whom we share common prayers with, not just personal prayers for our family and health, but for the nation. And that's been a very powerful thing in my life as well.
That's really helpful. I'm sitting here thinking I'm doing marketing for you, because I'm sitting here being like, you should make a prayer guide that comes with when you purchase the book. You can download a prayer guide, because I would print that out and hang it up in my house.
I'm taking notes.
Please do, because I'm like, man, a thing I have not done, Michael. If I did it in the last election cycle, my Dory memory does not remember. But if I pray for the candidates by name.
Yes.
Everything changes when you pray for someone.
Yes.
And so I can pray for the one I have a lean toward, and I can pray for the one I have a lean away.
Yes.
And it will change me if I am praying for both of them. And so as we see who that ends up being, which is predicted, but who can know? This world is crazy. But I think, man, if we just prayed them, both of them by name.
Yeah.
Or three of them if we can get RFK in there. Let's go. Come on, RFK.
Yeah, right. I was at a church in Oklahoma, and before I spoke, the pastor led the church in an exercise, and this was during the 2016 election, and he put up childhood photos, and like now looking back, it seems it should have been obvious what he was doing, but really it felt, we didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
And he put up childhood photos of Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton on the screen.
Wow.
And he asked the members of his congregation to think about, by that point in the race, they had become, both of them had become so dehumanized. And he said, think about, the prayers that their parents had for these children. And think about, and it was a very powerful. Our politicians, and we talk about politics as if those in elected office or those running for elected office are like soulless machines.
Yeah. Right.
And I know some of the, you know, I've been in settings with, and they have the same insecurities. They have the same sort of aspirations that like you and I have. And that doesn't mean they also have responsibilities. They shouldn't be excused for everything. But if we could just remember that these are human beings with their own personal stories, and not give ourselves the permission to dehumanize them or the people who support them in our lives,
then
I don't mean to make this a very practical thing, but sometimes people want to hear, well, what's the practical side of that?
Yes.
And I'll tell you, I think the practical side of it is you'll be much more likely to gain a hearing with people when you treat them as though they have some positive motivations for doing what they're doing, as opposed to immediately condemning everyone who disagrees with you politically. That's not really a conversation opener or an open door to persuasion.
I think it feels easy. When I sit here talking to you, I'm like, man, it's true. I like hearing from my friends who believe different than me.
Yeah.
And then when we're sitting at Thanksgiving, I'm like, are you insane? I can feel it in me, and I am one of the least confrontational politically people that I'm friends with. And I feel it rise up in me and think, how could you think that way?
Yes.
And so be practical with my brain for a minute, Michael, because it is only going to get louder for me and for our friends listening as we see people post on Instagram and Facebook, as we see people, because I have an Instagram friend that I want to be like, stop doing that right now, already, January. I would be like, stop it.
Yes.
Stop. That is not nice.
Yeah.
What do we do? Do we still stay quiet? Do we reach out to our friends? Is it face to face? Do we leave a comment? What do we
do? It so depends on the relationship you have with that person.
Yeah.
There's a section. I have a chapter in the book on gentleness.
And I
chose gentleness because to me, even more than, you know, self-control or love, gentleness seems like the thing that you that you say, and people just say, I don't see how that could play a role in politics at all. Like, if politics seems antithetical to anything, it's gentleness. And I talk in that chapter about this. When we engage with people in politics, we need to be careful that we're considering not just our own self-expression, but what we intend, and more importantly, what God intends to do with and for that person.
Wow.
And so even a right correction or a right rebuke is undermined if it is not done with the intention not to condemn that person, but to help that person. Let me just, so I think this is, if there was one idea, one mental image that people could, that people came away with my, from my book with, that I think would transform our politics, our own lives. Bonhoeffer in his book, Life Together, has this beautiful idea that when Christians meet, we never meet one-on-one. That Jesus always stands in the midst of us and between us. And he says, because of that, the Christian never seeks to act on his brother or sister. But Jesus mediates our interaction with one another. And so we don't need to coerce. We don't need to bully. We don't need to act out of scarcity or feel like if we can't get the person to do what we want, we won't get what we need. No, yeah. Jesus provides for us. And just imagine how our politics would change. Imagine how our relationships would change if we carried that idea into political conversations. Mm-hmm. When that person who raised that view that we disagree with, if we didn't see it as our responsibility to, if I don't step in to correct them, then they'll be lost. Or, what if we turn to Jesus for Jesus? What is your intention for this person and this conversation and this moment? And sometimes that will lead us to engage. Sometimes that will lead us to intervene. And sometimes it will lead us in a different direction. We'll sense in discernment with the Holy Spirit that an intervention at this moment is not going to be serving this person or anyone else around them. And you get that feeling on social media sometimes too. Like I sense, and I'm not perfect, but sometimes I'll reach out to someone. Hey, that tweet, it didn't seem like you. But there are other times where you just go, oh, this person is going through something. And if I try to sort of intervene at this point, they're not going to receive it as an aid. They're going to receive it as an attack, you know?
Yeah, that's right.
So, yeah.
I mean, that is, let me get my button. We have a mind blown button. It says, wowie zowie. Because when I tell you, I've never thought about gentleness being a fruit of the Spirit. I've said it every time I made the list. I have never thought about asking God to increase my gentleness when it comes to how I view and respond to my friends politically.
Yeah.
And so, honestly, the thing I want to do is I have a friend I want to call and be like, hey, if you're going to do this, you got to lead with gentleness. Because people often will talk about leading with love. And then they say, but love tells the truth.
Right.
Love can be hard. Well, with gentleness, there's no excuse. Gentleness is gentleness.
Yes.
And that is a fruit of the Spirit. Don't get us preaching, everybody listening. Yes. Don't get me and Michael preaching. That is a fruit of the Spirit.
And it's the idea of the fruit of the Spirit is not like you pick your favorite one.
That's right.
Like, the idea, this is the character of Christ. This is what we're trying to step into. And it's not, I'm majoring in self-control, but joy, I'm just too, the world is too crazy for joy. And this isn't to be a burden on people. We all have different makeups and some things are easier than others, but it is, again, like we need to have confidence that the kind of life Jesus is inviting us into isn't a gauntlet or some kind of a tease, that Jesus wants it more for us than we want it for ourselves. And if we could actually view Jesus as someone that we could talk to, I'm struggling with anger. Jesus, what would you have me do so that we could work on this anger issue together and I could put it away? Jesus wants to have that conversation with you. It's not a challenge that is put out for you to go deal with yourself or ignore or feel guilty about. No, this is life with Jesus.
Hey friends, just interrupting this conversation one more time to share about one of our amazing partners, Ritual. Y'all know getting vitamin D is important, but did you know that 97% of women ages 19 to 50 are not getting enough of it from their diet? Yikes. The shorter days right now don't help either, but Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus was shown to increase vitamin D levels by 43% in a clinical study. It's made with high quality ingredients and 9 traceable key nutrients. So you just take 2 capsules a day, and their capsules have this minty essence in every bottle that I love. It helps keep it fresh, and it helps make taking multivitamins every day actually enjoyable. Plus, it's also soy-free, gluten-free, vegan-friendly, and formulated without GMOs. It also has a delayed release design to help make it gentle on an empty stomach. Ritual is a female-founded B Corp, meaning they are holding themselves accountable to not just their company's financial health, but also the health of the people that are taking their things and our planet. Ritual is essential for women 18 plus, is a multivitamin you can actually trust. Get 40% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/thatsoundsfun. This offer is only available through January 31st. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/thatsoundsfun for 40% off. Y'all, I love when my Thrive Market box shows up at my door because it means some of my favorite snacks and cleaning supplies have arrived. And I didn't even have to leave my house. Thrive Market has these protein shakes that I like am addicted to. Plus, I'm on a bit of a gluten-free journey, as you know, so they have a ton of gluten-free snacks that I love, like all the Simple Mills crackers and Siete chips. I save money on every order. There is a deals page that I always check out almost daily. It's embarrassing. And I typically save about 30% on every order. Here's the other thing I love. Thrive Market only allows trusted top-quality ingredients while restricting 1,000-plus harmful ingredients like artificial flavors, high-fructose corn syrup, and more. So whether you're looking for organic kids snacks or low sugar alternatives or high protein essentials, you can curate your own shopping experience with a few clicks and trust that you're getting quality products so you can shop worry-free. Save time and money and shop Thrive Market today. Go to thrivemarket.com/thatsoundsfun for 30% off your first order, plus a free $60 gift. That's thrivemarket.com/thatsoundsfun. thrivemarket.com/thatsoundsfun.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
And now back to finish up our conversation with Michael. That sounds fun. I want you to give us a little bit of hope about this election as well. I'm going to quote you to you and then give us a little bit of hope because you say, I'm spoiling the end of the book, everyone. Sorry. It seems improbable now, with our politics as sick as it is, our illusions dispelled and our plans thwarted. The old political answers that once captivated our attention now seem inadequate. There is such disappointment. It can feel like we have reached our end. What future is there for our politics, for our churches, for us? When will our politics provide us with the right answers? It is there, at our end, that we find a new beginning. What is the new beginning that's happened in the last 20 years? I mean, this is not the election of my 20s. Yeah. These are not the elections of my early 30s. Yeah. These last three elections have been very different.
Yes.
So if something that we thought was good has ended, yeah, what's the hope of the new beginning in this season of politics when it feels like nothing good has begun?
Yeah. The new beginning is the opportunity to recognize now what has always been true, which is that our politics is not the answer. It is vital. God moves through history, and Christians in politics and in other spheres of life can be a part of partnering with God in advancing, yes, his kingdom.
Yes.
But when we, with the illusions that our politics is going to solve all of our problems for us, with that collapsed, I think it's very difficult to find people now who go, oh yeah, I think we're just a couple elections away from just taking care of this thing.
I would love to meet that person. I bet they're super fun at parties. Right, that is who I want to be next to at parties.
Yeah. But we can actually free ourselves and free our politics from the burden of pretending as if and forcing our politicians to pretend as if they could do what they cannot, and instead just yes. view politics as Willard describes a kingdom generally as the range of your effective will. Yeah. And so God's kingdom is the range of his effective will. And yet each of us have our own kingdoms, those areas of our life in which basically what we say goes. And politics is within the range of our effective will. And I love thinking about politics in this way, because what it does is it, to me, it rightly situates it. We have to be involved in politics because as citizens in this country, we already have political influence. Politics is already within the range of our effective will. And yet, though some political influence is within the range of our effective will, there is so much that happens in our politics. Actually, the vast, vast majority of it, it's not what we say goes. So what we say goes applies to how we cast our vote. It applies to how we deal with others in political conversations. Mm-hmm. But we're actually able to free ourselves from this idea that it all rises and falls with our political opinion, that, if I show up at that protest, everything is going to change. Or if I'm not able to show up at the school board meeting, everything's going to collapse. No, we're actually just able to have a rightly sized approach to our role, not just in politics, but in life. You know, there's been a really healthy, like, theological development in many evangelical churches to separate this idea that we are judged based on outcomes as opposed to faithfulness. And yet politics is this one area where we have not extended that logic. We think actually think the outcomes are sort of the thing that we're judged on. But no, God is just asking for us to be faithful with the limited influence we have.
And I think the thing I have to work on in me is believing that the people I don't agree with are doing that too.
Yeah.
That they are bringing. Do I actually believe that everyone who votes next to me on either side, that maybe we all go to the same church, we all show up to vote at the same time, we vote for three different candidates for president. Do I believe that they have been as thoughtful toward their decision as I have?
Yeah.
And that's what I have to, if I'm going to bring gentleness to this party, then I have to believe that they have been as thoughtful as I have been.
Right. Or at least that it's possible, you know, that it's possible that they have arrived to their conclusions with the level of thoughtfulness and faithfulness that you have. I think there are certainly, like, some circumstances where once you get to know someone, you know, there are just determinations made. Wow, the path that they took to get where they went, not a good one. Like, I don't want to walk down that path. But but yes, there are people voting diametrically opposed to you who are doing so for, you know, equally faithful reasons that you are. And we need to be able to provide other believers with that benefit of the doubt until proven otherwise. You know?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's beautiful, Michael. I can't wait for people to get, I mean, then go ahead and order it today and it'll be there tomorrow. So that's exactly, I mean, what a gift to start our year this way. I really cannot control anyone. I can barely control myself. But I really hope that this year, and we may be getting you back in here to do something with us, but I really hope this year that we can, as a community of That Sounds Fun, be really thoughtful politically.
Yeah.
And land in different places. I'm not asking everybody to vote like me, but we can land wherever. But just believing, like, I bet that other person who's friends with Annie too is being thoughtful about their decision.
Yes.
And we have landed in different places, but we're all going to be feasting with the lamb. We're all going to be eating that ravioli.
We're all.
That heavenly ravioli. If we all believe in Jesus, that is the backbone. The rest of its ribs. The rest of its ribs.
And I'll be holding the pasta cutter.
He's putting you to work. He's putting you to work.
That's right.
Is there anything we didn't say you want to make sure that we say?
Oh, I don't think so. I think we covered the right ground. Yeah.
Will you tell people a little bit how to keep up with you, but also how to keep up with the Center for Christianity and Public Life? Because I think that's a really helpful resource.
Yeah, I should have.
No, I was going to ask you.
Yeah. So I'm the founder and president of an organization called the Center for Christianity and Public Life. It is a new nonprofit. We just hit a year. And it is, in many ways, the book will introduce people to the work we do and why we do it, the spirit with which we do it. And so people can learn more about us at ccpubliclife.org. And we have wonderful staff, a wonderful board. It's been, we hold an annual summit that's just been, we held the first in November, and it was just an incredible experience, and would love for folks who feel like, I believe that Christianity has to have something to offer the public, but I'm just not quite sure of the words. I'm not quite sure of what that is. Would love for you to plug into our organization and learn more. And folks could do that by visiting the website and reaching out.
It's a very helpful Instagram follow as well for everyone. We'll make sure they can find it really easily. Okay, I got two more questions for you, then we'll be done. Great. Number one. Is RFK going to be on the ballot? Do you think he's got it? Is there is any third party person ever going to actually get on a nationwide ballot?
So, the efforts to keep third party candidates off the ballot are so intense.
Yeah, lots of money, lots of money put toward it.
I don't know. I'd kind of be surprised if, RFK wasn't on the ballot in California. I mean, you kind of want to assume someone's putting this much effort, their home state, but the barriers to entry are very high.
So
that's actually what I'm not. I don't really have a strong prediction on it. Between RFK, Cornel West, Jill Stein, we'll see how it shakes out. We could have more, known candidates on the ballot than we've had in a long time, but
so
the barriers to entry are pretty high.
Yeah. It's really fascinating. I've never experienced, I think part of this is thanks to the internet, because there are so many independent journalists now who are doing real trustworthy work, but are not connected to a broadcast network.
Yes.
And they are showing us more than the two.
Right. Yes.
And so I have found it very interesting to watch that this year.
Yes.
Uniquely.
Yeah. Me too. Yeah. Me too. I think so.
Will you finish, if you don't mind, would you finish us out by praying Dallas Willard's prayer that y'all do on where we are? I think that'd be a beautiful way to end this episode.
Yeah. No, I'd love to. And so this is Dallas Willard's rendition of the Lord's Prayer. I believe it comes from the Divine Conspiracy, and I've just found it to be incredibly helpful in my own personal life, and then we've made it sort of a mainstay on the podcast. So yeah, let's do that. Dear Father, always near us, may your name be treasured and loved. May your rule be completed in us. May your will be done here on earth in just the way it is done in heaven. Give us today the things we need today, and forgive us our sins and impositions on you as we are forgiving all who in any way offend us. Please don't put us through trials, but deliver us from everything bad, because you are the one in charge, and you have all the power, and the glory too is all yours forever. Which is just the way we want it. Yeah. Now, Annie, so one thing that Dallas says as a sort of postscript to this is he says, a translation, into this sort of language of amen is not sort of a perfect, but he goes, what I will sometimes do that I really think captures the spirit of it is Dallas would end this prayer with whoopee. And sometimes we haven't done that on the podcast yet, but sometimes I'll end with a whoopee, and that puts a kick to the start of my day. So whoopee. Yeah.
Whoopee. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you. Thank you, Annie. Good to be with you.
Oh, you guys, isn't he the best? He's so smart. The gentleness thing, Why have I never thought of that?
Wow,
100% wowie zowie. Make sure you grab a copy of The Spirit of Our Politics. It comes out tomorrow, but get one for yourself. Get one for your pastor, your spiritual leader, your spouse, your friends. This is a great book to help us walk into this year together. And that is the goal, is we walk in and we walk out together. And make sure you are subscribed to the Where We Are podcast. Truly one of my daily must listens. It is so good. It is so good. And that prayer, right? Oh, that prayer. Oh, I just loved it. Absolutely loved it. Make sure you're following Michael on social media. Tell him thanks so much for being on the show again. If you have any questions for me from this episode, just drop them in the Q&A box if you're listening on Spotify, or you can DM them to us at That Sounds Fun Podcast, or leave a comment along with the post from this episode, whatever is easiest for you. We'll try to answer all those questions over there. If you need anything else for me, you know I'm embarrassingly easy to find. Annie F. Downs on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, back home in Nashville, all the places you may need me. That is how you can find me. And I think that's it for me today, friends. Go out or stay home. Do something that sounds fun to you, and I will do the same. Today, what sounds fun to me, you know, it's sleeping in my own bed. After a couple of weeks in Rwanda, I am glad to be home. Y'all have a great week. We'll see you back here on Thursday with our first of monthly experiences with our good buddy, Eddie Kaufholz. We're going to do a year in review to celebrate our 10th anniversary of That Sounds Fun. So coming on Thursday, Eddie and I are going to review for you 2014, the year the podcast started. We'll see y'all then.
That sounds fun.
That sounds fun.